You would please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. We're going to read verses 1 through 15 and then probably focus in verses 1 through 12. This is God's Word. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one.' Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If this is the situation between a husband and wife, it is better not to marry." Jesus replied, "Not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For some are eunuchs because they were born that way. Others were made that way by men. And others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it." Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Where did marriage come from? I mean, whose idea was that? People came to Jesus in order to test him. Please don't overlook that. The purpose of their question was not seeking truth. They weren't trying to find out new information. They weren't wanting to know how best to live their lives. They came to Jesus in order to test him. That was the purpose of their question. And if you understand the purpose of their question, it helps put in context Jesus' answer. This isn't everything Jesus has to say about marriage. But there are a lot of people in our culture today who are terribly confused about marriage. And one reason is because our government is terribly confused about marriage. The highest court in our land has said that marriage doesn't have to be between a man and a woman. Marriage can be between two men or between two women. And of course, the problem with that is once you redefine marriage and say it doesn't matter if you're marrying a person of the opposite sex or if you're marrying a person of the same sex, what is to say that you can't, as a fellow in Florida, I believe, did, or maybe it was a woman in Florida, who knows these days, marry the Ferris wheel in your backyard that you bought at auction? I mean, you know, if you want to be married to a Ferris wheel, why not? If you want to be married, you know what a Ferris wheel is? It's one of those things like we have in Pigeon Forge that goes like this. If you want to be married to your German shepherd, well, who's to say that you can't? If you want to be married not to one person, but to four people, why not? I mean, after all, who decides these things? Now, I said one reason that there's confusion today is because our government is confused, but our government is made up of people. And I would submit to you that the primary reason why people are confused about marriage today is not because of our government. It is because, as you look out in our culture, people have not followed God's plan. The problem is not just that the government is saying and doing things that cause people to be confused. The problem is our government is confused because people haven't been doing what God said. And so when Jesus was asked this question, please notice his first words. Haven't you read? Haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. Marriage was invented by God. It's His idea. And He defines the terms. But I want you to see something else. Haven't you read that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female? God invented not just marriage, but people. You were designed by God. God designed human beings. If you think that you are simply the product of chance and time, highly evolved slime, then all the rules are gone. It's just survival of the fittest. Just, you know, do what you can to survive in this world. But God made you with a purpose in view. God designed us and said, that's very good. You need to know that human beings are on this planet as a result of God's plan. And He has a plan for you, and it's good. And you may not like everything about yourself. I'm so pretty, oh so pretty, I feel pretty and witty and whatever it was. Where did that come from? That was West Side Story, okay? What's West Side Story? Part of your cultural education if you stay long enough, okay? I mean, you may look at yourself and think, I just couldn't be more perfect. But probably not. Probably not. Most of us wish we were taller or shorter or thinner or heavier or had curly hair or straight hair. Everybody I know who has curly hair wants to straighten it. And everybody I know who has straight hair wants to curl it. And people who are blonde try and add other color. And people who aren't blonde try and get blonde. And I'm telling you. Say, no, I just let my hair go totally natural. No, you don't. Okay? Well, I did this morning. Okay, well, yeah, maybe this morning. But the fact of the matter is, most of us are not entirely happy with the way that we find our bodies. Okay? I mean, it's just the way it is. We wish we were older when we're kids. We wish we were younger when we're old. It's just an ongoing thing. But I want you to understand one thing. Whether you like it or not, God made them male and female. Those are the two options. Okay? You're one or the other by God's design. And you may not feel terribly comfortable in your skin. You may be a female who wishes she was male. You may be a male who wishes he was female. Regardless of what you wish, you need to know what you are. And God made you either male or female. And if you want to know which you are, your body will let you know. We have a bunch of people in our culture who think that their body is wrong and they need to get their body fixed. Let me just tell you something. That is mental illness. And people who succumb to it, like the famous Olympic athlete Bruce Jenner, should not be celebrated for their courage. They should be pitied with genuine compassion because they are so confused. Please understand that, because you young people are growing up in a culture where your government is telling you the opposite, not just of God's word, but of medical science. Please understand that. I think there are doctors who think it's okay. Yeah, they are charlatans who are in it for the money, because medical science has demonstrated that the people who try and change their bodies in order to go with their emotions end up with a much, 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 much higher suicide rate. Well, that's because of prejudice in our culture. No, actually, it's because of mental illness. So please understand that. I have people that I am in contact with who have struggled with this. And I have compassion for them and want to help them, just like my other friends who struggle with other kinds of mental illness. Schizophrenia, manic depressive disorder, OCD like me. All kinds of problems that people have. I don't look down on those folks. I have compassion on those folks. And I know that you will not help them by lying to them. It's the truth that people need. So telling the truth in love is what we need to do. But understand, you're living in a culture where the truth is hated by many people in power. So Jesus said, when they asked him this question, haven't you read? Start with the scripture. That's where you go for answers. Well, I'm going to ask Pastor Wood. Okay, you can ask Pastor Wood, but he's going to tell you to read the book. Okay? God's word has the answers. Well, I think Pastor Wood has a lot of answers. The only good answers I've got are from the scriptures. This is truth. This is our authority. This is our daily bread. This is where you go for answers. You want to know what's right? See what God says. God made us male and female. And God said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Boy, there's a lot here. In order for two people to marry, they need to be ready to separate from mom and dad. Okay? Husbands are supposed to be prepared to support their wives. If you're not in a position to provide support for somebody, the Bible says that you should be building your crops out in the field before you try and build your house. Okay? So if you build your house and haven't done the work ahead of time to get your crops going, you're going to starve. Okay? So first, get yourselves in a position to support a family, gentlemen, before you're out shopping for an apartment and putting things on credit. Your job, if you're going to marry, is to be a husband. The word means that you provide and care for and protect, and you need to be getting yourself in a position to do that, not just buying more video games, okay? Not just getting stuff for yourself, like a better car, a fancier car, a faster car, okay? You can't live in your car with a family and call yourself a responsible person, okay? Are you saying I can't have a car? No, I'm saying your focus needs to be on putting yourself in a position to be a husband. Now, by the way, I'll jump ahead to where the disciples, after they heard what all is involved in marriage, said, I think maybe the single life is better. Okay? And over in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul says that at some times, for some people, the single life is better. But not so that you can have the fancier car and more video games. The reason for singleness is for the kingdom. It's so that you can be more focused in your devotion to spreading the gospel and calling people to Jesus Christ. I remember when I was a teenager and I wanted to drop out of high school and go on the road preaching. I mean, I had an old car that I had fixed up and I had a driver's license and I had my sleeping bag in the back and I had some sternos and some a can opener and some cans of tuna, and what more could anyone need? You know? And my dad said he would give his blessing if I would absolutely commit myself irrevocably never to marry. Well, that's pretty serious. I wasn't looking to marry before I got out of high school, but I was thinking that might happen someday. But if I really mean what I say about the need to get out there and spread the gospel and all this, and then I'll pray about it. Well, I prayed about it. Dad told me, you need to seek the Lord. I went downstairs, got on my knees before God and began to pray. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, read Genesis. I thought, I'm busy right now. I need to know what God wants me to do. And I continued to pray and say, Lord, I need your wisdom. If I'm not supposed to marry, I want to know that because I'd really like to not have to finish algebra. And I'm willing to give up math for the sake of the gospel, okay? And so I'm on my knees, I'm praying, and God's speaking to my heart, read Genesis. And I'm thinking this is a distraction. I just want to know God's will, and God says, read Genesis. So I stopped, opened my Bible, which was right there with me at the foot of my bed, and I began reading in Genesis, and it's the third day. And all of a sudden, I came to the verse where it says, it is not good for the man to be alone. That's what it said right there in the text. It said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Boom! I had my answer. And I got up from my knees and I ran upstairs and I told my dad, God has a wife for me. I'm going to marry someday. And oh, I thank God that he did indeed have a wonderful wife for me who is the right helpmeet. God knew what I needed, and God knew it was not good for me to be alone. Folks, let me tell you, she even knows how to do algebra. You see, God designed you, and if you're a guy, rejoice in it. Because God knows what he's doing and he made you well. And you may say, I don't want the responsibility of being a husband. You need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You need to say, God, I will do whatever you want. Married or single, I'm yours. I want to do your will. And you may be a young lady who says, boy, the guys get all the breaks. Let me tell you something. God designed you well. He's got a plan for you, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Well, can women be single too? Of course. But the purpose is not to pursue your own pleasure. The purpose is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God has a plan for you. He designed you, and you can be a beautiful reflection of His glory, whether you are male or female, whether you are single or married. The key is to be focused on Him. If God wants you to be single, you don't want to be married. If God's plan for you is to be married, you don't want to be single. And if God's design was for you to be male, you don't want to be female. Sometimes. No, you don't. And ladies, celebrate the fact that God made you female, because it's a good plan. Now let me tell you, Jesus said, "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother." Say that with me. Leave his father and mother. Okay? You got to be ready to make it on your own. You can't just move her into mom and dad's basement. Okay? Well, I think we could for a while. No! Leave father and mother. But it doesn't stop there. And be united to his wife. The old King James says, and cleave unto his wife. That means you're like this. Okay? The two become one. Be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Okay. It's in your handbook. You're supposed to have memorized it. Let's see if we can say it together. Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. I didn't just pull that out of thin air. This is built on God's word. God intends for sex to be an expression of love. It's a celebration. It's a beautiful thing, but it's for a man and a woman who are married to each other. It's God's design. He invented it. He made us male and female. And that's not something... God didn't put Adam and Eve together in the garden with no clothes on and then say, "Oh, I should have seen that coming." God designed Adam and Eve for each other, and the physical pairing of husband and wife is His pattern and plan. And folks, let me tell you, all the sexual perversion that's going on in our culture is a violation of design. They're forever warning us not to put Q-tips and other things down in our ears because we're going to manage to mess up our hearing. Okay? Well, there are people who are trying to do things with their bodies that are not what our bodies were designed for. It's not the way we're made. And there are health consequences that are having devastating impact in our country. And please let me tell you, I'm not just talking about homosexual behavior. I'm talking about sexually transmitted disease, which is what we have an epidemic of in this culture, which is what happens when you have multiple partners. You understand? If two people are chaste until marriage, some of you are thinking, "Why? Who's chasing them?" Okay, let me rephrase. If two people will be sexually pure until they marry and then faithful to each other, their risk of getting a sexually transmitted disease nets out at zero. Doesn't happen that way. That's not why we've got people all over this country who are suffering with the sad consequences of sexually transmitted disease, which is not something that the media wants to talk about a lot because they're too busy trying to promote sexual promiscuity. Let me just tell you something. Homosexual behavior in our culture is a problem. But folks, it's not the main problem. Sexually, much more common is unfaithfulness, adultery. What Jesus is talking about here in this passage. People who don't follow God's plan. Husbands who are not faithful to their wives. Wives who are not faithful to their husbands. People who think that it's not really adultery if it's just, you know, I'm tired of this one, so I'm going to divorce her and now I'm going to marry this one. I'm tired of this one, so I'm going to divorce her and marry this one. Serial monogamy. Okay? Jesus says it's still adultery. Sorry, folks, let me just tell you, it's not okay to dump your spouse in order to go after somebody else. Or as often happens, to go after somebody else and then dump your spouse. Not okay. It's not okay. The problem is we're forgetting who invented us. We're overlooking what he says about how things are supposed to be. We're failing to obey what we know is right. And so they said, well, you know, Moses said we could get a divorce. I love the way they phrased it. They said, why then did Moses command us to give our wives a certificate of divorce and send them away? As if, you know, Moses said, okay, I know some of you guys are married. You need to go ahead and give your wife a certificate of divorce and send her away. I mean, that's the way they phrased the question. You know, why did Moses command us to do this? Jesus says, Moses permitted divorce because of your hard hearts. But God's intention, God's design, was that marriage is for a lifetime. That's his plan. Now, should we look down on people who have been victims of divorce? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But please understand, I don't look down on people who have cancer. But I don't act like, cancer, no problem. I've had cancer 3 times. I haven't had cancer 3 times. But in other words, if you try and make people feel better about an illness by pretending it's no big deal, it doesn't help. It doesn't help anybody. And if you try and act as we do in our culture, as if divorce, lots of people get divorced. Tons of people get divorced. Divorce is no big deal. Divorce is a big deal. It's a tragedy. Well, is there life after divorce? Absolutely. Can God forgive people? Absolutely. But does that mean no big deal? No. You want to know the wages of sin? It's death. In this context, in this passage, Jesus is answering a question that others raised regarding divorce. But I want you to understand, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. So if you were pure until marriage and faithful to your spouse through all of your days, that would not get you into heaven. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not everybody messes up in the same way, but everybody is messed up. All of us have messed up. And so what all of us need is a Savior, and there is only one, and His name is Jesus. Now, Jesus says, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery. Jesus does provide grounds for divorce, but the grounds for divorce is when somebody else has already broken the marriage through marital unfaithfulness. Because the purpose of marriage is not just our enjoyment, not just our blessing. It is the glory of God. It is a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. That's God's design. People didn't understand what it was about, but God did. God knew from the beginning that there would one day be a marriage supper for the King of Glory and His bride, and that our union on earth was to be a picture of our relationship with Him, which is to be a relationship of absolute loyalty and faithfulness forever. That's God's purpose. That's God's design. So, the disciples said to him, if this is a situation between a husband and wife, it's better not to marry. If you're telling me that I can't get out of this thing, that if I marry this person and, you know, they turn out to be kind of, you know, hard to get along with, that I'm stuck, and I don't think I want to get into it. I think I'd kind of like to just, you know, stay single. Jesus says, oh, guys, don't think that way. Actually, what Jesus says is, well, for some people, that's true. For some people, it is better not to marry. Say that with me. For some people, it is better not to marry. But you can't have sex if you don't get married. Oh. So are you saying we get married just so we can have sex? No. But I'm saying if you don't realize that that is only for this group over here, it could affect the math. Okay? Is it really that good? Yeah. When you do things God's way. When you do things God's way. When you do things God's way. Do you know who really appreciates God's design? People who follow it. People who follow it. But if you look for your food down on the floor, it's not going to taste the same. Shall I say that one more time? If you look for your food down on the floor, it's not going to taste the same. And there are a whole bunch of people who are going from one partner to another partner to another partner, from one experience to another experience, even to the point of saying, maybe if I change my orientation, then I'll find satisfaction. Then I'll find happiness. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. You will not find what God designed you to enjoy except God's way. Is that clear? God designed male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. That's the plan. That's the plan. And it's a great plan. It's a really wonderful plan. It's marvelous. But you try and take that and turn it around and do your own thing with it, modify it as you please, go after your own desires instead of seeking first the kingdom of God, let me tell you, you're not going to end up at the same place. You're not going to get the same results. If I decide to run diesel in my car, it's not going to run very long. Okay? I actually saw a thing, I think the BBC did it. Yeah, it was BBC. British Broadcasting System showed what happens if you put diesel in a gas engine car. And the guy fills it up with diesel and then starts down the road and, you know, he says, so far, so good. And, of course, then the stuff gets through the fuel line and up to the engine and and then it quits. And he says, now let's see if we can fix it, you know, et cetera. Well, then they also put gasoline in a diesel engine. Okay? You know what? That didn't work either. Because it's much higher combustibility. And boom! End of the engine. What happened? Fuel comes out of a hose. There's a pump. It's not what it was designed for. Folks, you were designed by God with a purpose in view. Don't try and mess it up. I'd just like to change it a little bit. Stop it. God designed you with a purpose. Rejoice. Whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're male, whether you're female, God has a plan, and the plan has to do with His kingdom. Jesus replied, "Not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given." To whom it has been given. Some people are intended by God to be single. Some are eunuchs because they were born that way, others were made that way by men, and others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. Those who can accept this, that is singleness, should accept it. Folks, this is a huge subject, and there's a world of hurt out there because folks aren't seeking to do things God's way. But let me tell you, even when you want to do things God's way, it can be very painful to live a life of obedience in a world that is crazy. Okay? And you need to understand that. I don't want you to think, Pastor Wood made it sound like if I just decide to do the will of God, everything's going to be easy for me. No. Let me clarify, please. Jesus said it would involve a cross. Whether you're going to be single or married, it's not going to be a bed of roses. Whether you're going to be single or married, you're going to have to, every day, die to self. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. But oh, let me tell you, the outcome of obedience is glory. It's wonderful. The outcome of disobedience, eventually, is a mouthful of sand. It does not go well. It does not go well. And you may think, well, I can get to happiness if I just take this shortcut. Not true. For thousands of years, people have discovered it's not true. That road leads to destruction. Many are on it. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Put your trust in Jesus. Do what He says. Follow His plan. Pastor, you read those other verses that you said you probably weren't going to talk about very much, and it has to do with children. Yeah. One of the reasons why God designed marriage to be the way it is between a man and a woman is because of the value that God places on children. Is that clear? Children are intended by God to have a mother and a father so that they see what the relationship between the two is supposed to be. Please understand, you are not a mistake. You are not less valuable because you're living in a broken world. God's plan doesn't change. It's still supposed to be a husband and a wife caring for their children. But please understand, you can't control the situation you're born into or the situation you grow up in. But by God's grace, you have a big say in what kind of situation your children will be born into and what kind of situation they will grow up in. And that's where you need to focus as you seek to obey the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you designed us as male and female. And we would say with you in your word, that is very good. We thank you that you designed us as male and female with the intention that most of us would get married. And I want to thank you for that kind and gracious plan. And now, Father, I pray for these young people who are living in such a crazy, mixed-up world that is filled with evil and brokenness and heartache. I pray that you would help them to look to your word, to see what you say is the plan, and then seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Whatever the struggles, whatever the confusion, whatever the pain, I pray that they would know that your plan is good and that they would embrace your truth and allow your truth to transform them. Lord, we've all sinned and we need a Savior. Thank you for sending Jesus. We need Him. Thank you for sending Jesus. Now help us, we pray, to follow Him in obedience. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.